We have to engage consciously. We have to engage in the expression of. Now, expression or express means to move on out.
Mm.
We have to engage in the movement out of the feelings and the emotions that we first experienced internally, so that those feelings and emotions do not eat up, do not form part of the fabric of who we are internally.
Mm.
Unfortunately, for most of us, that's already the case by the age of 7. Anyway, so then what we're doing is we're constantly adding to this emotional patchwork quilt that we are knitting together in the background of our lives, and it just becomes bigger and bigger. The patches become smaller and smaller, but nevertheless, there's a pattern emerging. The unconscious takes care of it. And then before we know it, our lives are being interrupted by feeling things we'd rather not feel, or our lives are being interrupted by physical symptoms, or our lives are being interrupted by mental disorders, for want of a term, or our lives are being interrupted by stressful life scenarios. Guess what's at the heart of every single one of those interruptions?
Yep.
Our emotions, our unexpressed emotions, our unreconciled emotions. I suppose one way of looking at it is that as we're growing up, we become emotionally domesticated. We conform. We fall in line. We want to be part of the tribe. We want to belong, and therefore we act like the tribe in order to stay part of the tribe. We don't develop our own emotional dexterity. We develop the capacity to create emotional distress on an ongoing basis. Our bandwidth, our emotional bandwidth, becomes narrower and narrower the more we refuse to express the truth about how we're feeling. Our emotional fabric becomes tainted and colored. The emotional tapestry becomes all higgledy-piggledy, unrecognizable to the human eye, but nevertheless a very real backdrop. And before we know it, if this goes on for too long, there'll come a point when we emotionally combust. Mm. So I suppose what I'm saying is the smart thing to do is to get into some sort of emotional archaeology. That can be scary for people, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So there's another reason why we don't do it. Fear of what might happen. Yeah, yeah. What might happen? Let me ask you this question, Rish. What do you think might happen? Or what do you fear might happen if we were to go exploring the emotional artifacts that are buried in your back garden under the patio, for example?
Yeah. It's going to bring back to the surface the emotions that have been nicely tucked away in places never to be seen again and felt again.
Yeah. So first of all, we dig up your patio. So you'll need a new patio unless we dig it up carefully. Yeah. Now, we don't know how far down we're going to have to dig,
yeah,
but we're going to have to put the soil somewhere, right? So we've got plenty of reasons why we wouldn't want to go digging these things up. So it's understandable that we wouldn't. But really, the choice is either to try and keep them buried out of sight and hope that they never gather the strength or the power to affect us again. Or we hold our hands up and say, do you know what? I would rather be proactive here. and be the one to go lifting up the patio slabs one at a time, moving just a couple of spadefuls of soil at a time, picking out one or two things to deal with at a time, and doing it in a way that makes me feel good about what I'm doing, but without running the risk of being overwhelmed or overloaded by the prospect of digging the whole patio up at once.
Yeah.
That's certainly an option for sure. But one of the things that most people are going to have to be willing to face, if you like, is the very real fear that goes with, yeah, but what will happen if I do? And there are many skilled professionals out there who can help with that. It's not the only option. Mm-hmm. I would suggest it's a preferable one, because if you work with someone who is skilled and effective, then it's likely to be quicker than doing it on your own. But look, some people have done it on their own very successfully. Ultimately, it's got to be down, I think, to each individual to not only wake up, own up, grow up, and show up, but to actually be up for what it's going to take them, in or what it's going to take for them to actually do something that in their heart of hearts they probably realize would be worthwhile, would be of benefit, but maybe at this point in time they're just not sure how worthwhile and exactly what the benefit would be. But the choice is either continue as you are or do something with what you now know about the role and the influence unexpressed emotions have, and find a way of making it work so that you can be more responsible, where you can be more proactive in doing something with those parts of you that you've shut down. Because to continue to shut down our emotions is not much different from what happened to most of us as children. Most of us as children, we were shut down. And we were shut down at different times, whether it's for our exuberance, for our joy, for our noise, for our keenness. We didn't want to go to sleep at night, or we wanted to stay on the swings a bit longer, or we wanted to play in the park, playing football or cricket or whatever it was, just for a little bit longer. When we're told we can't or we mustn't, when a threat is held over us if we don't do something, or indeed if we do do something, parts of who we are get shut down. We've got to stop doing the shutting down thing. Not a very technical term, but we'll go with it for now. If we shut down our emotions, it's back to being childlike again. We've got to interrupt that pattern as well. So I've talked about, you know, waking up and owning up and growing up and showing up and getting up ourselves. The way to get up is to stop shutting down.
Well, you mentioned wake up, own up, show up. You've spoken about a very powerful message about the fear of loss and stop shutting down. If I were to ask you, well, I'm going to ask you, for the takeaway from today's conversation, of all the things you've spoken about, and in fairness, any single sentence we can take away from today as being important, but what would you want to highlight above all else as today's takeaway?
I think I would, Rish, I would go with, I'd go back to something that was mentioned at the beginning, indirectly, and that is that, you know, to struggle with our emotions, it's natural. It really is natural. This is not about blame. This is about understanding. This is not about fighting. This is about allowing into our awareness the reality of what's happened. We don't need to focus on whether or not we were shut down. We don't need to focus on exactly why we struggle. We do, I believe, first and foremost, need to be kinder to ourselves and understand that the emotional patterns that we've developed over time are unlikely to have started with us, which means they're not really ours, which means that what we've been doing all our lives is continuing to carry the baton of previous generations. And again, this is not about blame. This is just about understanding. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not at fault for anything. The reality is that all of us, virtually everybody alive today, finds themselves at one time or another in their lives struggling to deal with their emotions, and for very understandable reasons. If we want to reduce the amount of time that we spend struggling with our emotions, we have to develop a more congenial relationship with them, less adversarial. Let's not see them as the enemy. Let's see them as a very important part of us that provides us with information that is very, very useful. And if there's any area of our lives in which we want to feel better, we've just got to get better at feeling.
Richard, thank you. So, in summary, all of us find ourselves at one time or another struggling with our emotions. We need to reduce the time spent struggling, and we need to develop a more congenial relationship with our emotions. Thank you very much for today. It has been wonderful chatting, thoroughly fascinating, completely enthralling from start to finish.
Well, it's been my pleasure, Rich. Thank you for having me again.
And I cannot wait till the next time, Richard. Thank you.
You're welcome.